Now, back to The Drive with Steve Jackson, live and local on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and 94.5 in Petaluma.
All right, I'm wearing my ginormous glasses today that I only wear at home usually, but last time I accidentally wore them in here, Mike took a photo and we did a Facebook poll and about 40 people chimed in and the glasses won. I think there was only three people that didn't think they were cool, so I don't know. Harry noticed.
They work.
Yeah.
Can we take a poll here now?
That's as uncommitted a response as you can expect.
Well, I like Ron's glasses much better, but it is Harry Duke time early because tomorrow's Thanksgiving. He's here with Ron Severdia from Left Edge Theater. They're doing a play called Every Brilliant Thing, and I can't wait to hear about this because Harry just kind of mentioned to me in the green room that it's about what, death and suicide.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Well, it is the season for the holiday theater productions to get up and running, and we've got, you know, Annie the musical at Sixth Street, Taylor of Gloucester down at Spreckles. We've got Anne of Green Gables out in Sonoma.
Nobody dies in Annie.
Nope, I don't think so. Maybe Sandy. But flying under the radar is this little show called Every Brilliant Thing up at Left Edge Theater, and we've had the folks from Left Edge on many times before. They do new plays. They do plays that haven't been done in the area before, plays that have been written in the last 5 to 7 years.
Which I love, and we love.
Absolutely.
Left Edge Theater.
And so it gives you a different option for your theatrical choices this season. And so to talk to us about this play called Every Brilliant Thing is Ron Severdia. Welcome, Ron.
Thank you very much.
So let's kind of give the audience a feel for what this particular show is about. Steve kind of hinted at it, but we need to go a little deeper than that.
Well, it's not necessarily death and suicide, but I think that's when you, at first glance, you might get that feeling. But it's actually about a 7-year-old boy who grows up with a depressed mother, and how he deals with that is to make a list of everything that's brilliant about the world. So a long
everything worth living for.
Everything worth living for. Exactly.
Yeah, well, I like that. That's cool.
It's a comedy about depression. And that's, I know, things that make you go, hmm.
Would seem oxymoronic.
But yes, exactly. It's actually a very funny and uplifting show about this boy and how he grows up in this environment and creates this running list of giving his mother inspiring things to live for.
Are you the dad? You're not the kid.
I am the kid and the man.
Really?
It's a tough show to describe. We were talking about it in the green room about what we could say or couldn't say or should say or shouldn't say. And it's one of these challenging pieces that kind of defy description in a lot of ways. Yeah. Let's talk about how this play ended up at Left Edge Theater.
Yeah. So about two years back, I had heard about this play and I looked into it. It seemed like a really interesting idea, and given the idea that around the holidays, depression rates are up, suicide rates are up, and Marin Magazine, I just mentioned to Harry, that just did a few-page spread, like an 8-page spread on depression around the holidays and what happens when people like Robin Williams or Anthony Bourdain take their own lives, and that is that fact. When people like that of celebrity status do something like that, it actually causes a spike in the number of suicides in the U.S.
Yeah, and I've heard that. Of course, neither of those suicides were related to the holiday season, but I get your drift.
Exactly. No, it's really more about the suicide being contagious, and so when those things are front page news, then it happens especially around the holidays when people especially don't have family. So I came across this play, and it seemed like a really interesting idea for me. I do have a personal connection. My brother committed suicide.
Oh, no.
When I was, he was 16 and I was 21 at the time. And so, not that I'm an expert on the topic for that reason, but, I do that. That allows me to have a personal connection to the play.
Wow.
So I suggested it. We talked about it more. And then we just decided to do it. I contacted the playwright as well, and we had some great discussions about how he felt the play should be presented. And
Duncan McMillan.
Duncan McMillan, a great English playwright.
So he's in Great Britain.
Yes.
And the great Argo Thompson, who's been in here many times, obviously, is directing.
Correct.
Yes. Yes, he is. Fabulous director.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been a very inspiring story, and there are elements of to the play I can't really give away without giving the play away. In fact, the less you know about the story or how the play is presented, the better the experience will be.
Yeah, Ron and I were talking in the green room, and he says, "Well, do you know this play?" And I says, "Well, yeah, I've researched it because I knew you were coming on." He says, "Ah, you know, that's kind of a shame because, as he said, the less you know, the better. But I felt I needed to have some sense of what this story was about and where it goes. But as an audience member, what should attract an audience member to see the show? If they can't know anything about it, tell them why they should come.
Well, I think it's a different kind of holiday show. So there are mention of the holidays in it, but it's not a traditional holiday show like It's a Wonderful Life or something of that nature.
Interestingly enough, actually has to do with suicide.
Exactly.
When you think about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there is a connection in that way, but I think the way it's uniquely the presentation, the style of it is very different, and there might be some audience participation there. Just there's some other aspects about the show that I think make it a very different kind of show around the holiday time.
It was called Humorous and Poignant.
Yes,
and that's what it sounds like.
Yeah. One of the things I liked that you told me earlier was that you have had contact with the playwrights, and they've approved and encouraged you to make adjustments to the script to make it more relevant to a local audience.
Yes. So it's an English playwright, so it's written with a lot of English, British colloquialisms and things like that. So they have encouraged me and Argo, our team here, to make the necessary adjustments to make it local, to adjust dates and things like that, to make it age appropriate. They've been very encouraging and even offering a lot of suggestions and insight into the way things are called the way they are in the play. So
that's
can
very
help
cool.
Us localize it.
That
in
doesn't
a way.
Happen very often.
It,
right?
It doesn't. And one of the things that also eliminates is the need to attempt an accent, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've done plenty of shows. I did a one-man show of Christmas carols. I've done plenty of English accents before, but it kind of doing an accent here, I think, kind of puts some distance between you and the performer in the show. And so I think the less distance, the less barrier, the more open and honest the whole experience is, the better show it is. And
how many actors are in it? Just you.
This is radio, Ron. You're holding up a finger.
Yeah,
and no one can see.
I know. Well, it wasn't the middle finger anyway. Really?
That's what my mom said.
What about the woman, the mom in the movie? I mean, in the play.
Yeah. So that's kind of the experience. Is that this is a more immersive theater experience. So may have heard about other types of shows where the audience gets brought in to become actual. Performers in a way.
Wow.
This is not really to that extent, but there's elements of that in the show that where the different characters can be represented by audience members, or they're just imaginary. They're part of the story.
So you're not wearing a wig and a dress during part of it or something? And then...
No wig, no drag.
Not during the performance.
Not
anyway.
This show. Well, after the show at a local bar. Maybe.
Yes, and he is right now here in the studio, but you can't see it. Who's that on your T-shirt? I'm not reckoning.
The man who made the greatest film of
all
time.
That's the third man. Does that help you?
No.
We're on radio. The audience has no idea.
I know,
what
I know. It
about.
Says I'm wearing a shirt of Orson Welles.
Oh,
the third
okay.
man.
I can see it now.
Yeah,
yeah
exactly.
Okay.
But I think people think it's Jimmy Cagney at first. But
it's a cool shirt.
But
I like that.
That's one of my heroes.
What can audiences expect to see in the theater when they arrive? I'm curious if you're doing sets, if you're doing costumes, what are you doing?
Yeah, so we want to encourage an atmosphere of thankfulness that people be thinking about and be aware of the things that are in the world around them that they're thankful for or they think that are just brilliant. I mean, there are reasons, good reasons to be alive and to feel good about your life. So we have an exhibit set up in the lobby where people will be able to add to the wall of every brilliant thing themselves. So they'll be able to think of things, some of the things that we think of.
That's genius.
And add to them.
I love
and,
that.
Contribute to the list is actually a million items long.
I like this. So, I'm looking at the website, the Left Edge Theater website, and some of the things the kid writes and leaves on his mom's pillow is the list of everything that's worth living for. Ice cream, kung fu movies, burning things.
Okay. Not at the LBC.
Not in this county.
Laughing so hard you shoot milk out of your nose. Oh, yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Construction cranes. Okay. And this is cool. And I love the fact that the theater goers can add to the list of stuff.
Yeah, and they can so they will be able to see that the huge list of things. And when you start off the list, they become very general, like roller coasters and kung fu movies. But as the list grows and you get to be the hundreds of thousands, they get to be a little bit more specific.
Sure.
Along the way.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
It's the feeling that you feel when you first lock eyes with somebody and
or big glasses.
Or big glasses.
Thank you. Thank you.
People falling over is one of them,
yeah,
too.
That's a good one.
And it's a funny thing. People falling over. There's TV shows just about that.
Well, it's running, it starts on the 24th, which is...
It starts this Saturday and
yeah.
Sunday, yeah.
Okay, and it runs through December 9th at Left Edge Theater at the Luther Burbank Center. We got tickets?
We do. If this sounds like an interesting production to you, and it surely does to me, we have two pairs of tickets to give away, good for any performance of Every Brilliant Thing, running Friday, Saturday, and Sunday through December the 9th. The first two callers at 707-636-1350 will get one pair of those tickets. And we've got one already, so hurry
up. We've got more than that. Oh, yeah. I love my listeners.
Yeah.
They're good folks. And again, I'll throw this out there just as a reminder. Folks, if you win the tickets, particularly for these smaller theater companies, we appreciate it if you actually use the tickets. And if you can't, pass them on to somebody who can.
Right.
Because every seat matters in these houses of 40 to 60 seats.
Right.
And we do appreciate your calling in and attending.
Yeah.
All right. Ron Severdia playing...
That would be me.
Playing all the roles in this movie. I got to see this. It's Left Edge Theater's Every Brilliant Thing at the Luther Burbank Center. Ron, good to see you again. Thanks for coming in. Happy Thanksgiving.
Man. Thanks. Same to you guys.
For more information on the show, just go to their website at leftedgetheater.com.
All right. And we'll see you next Thursday.
I'll be here. Happy Thanksgiving
to
Steve and
same
to the audience.
All right. Very cool. Harry Duke and Ron Severdia from Left Edge Theater. Culinary Commodore Clark Wolf will join us. I'm not sure where he is, but we're going to talk about the romaine mayhem, or as Mike wrote, mayhen. Don't feed romaine lettuce to your chicken or hen. Mayhen. Okay. He's got a lot on his mind, man.
He made several typos on that one. Yeah, I didn't catch that one either, but I caught the other ones.
Shannon Carr from the great organization Forgotten Felines is going to be joining us. The Boho Buzz with news editor, the Bohemian Tom Gogola. Chris Smith from the Press Democrat back in with us. ABC News White House correspondent Tara Palmieri. Brianna Keeler from CNN. She had a son a while ago. She's just back on CNN from maternity leave. She's a dear friend and a Drive Hall of Famer. She had to do the interview early, so I was asleep. Of course, I'm asleep during a lot of the interviews I do here. Mm. So Mike did it. So that'll be cool. Mm. Mike and Brianna. California Wine Country with Dan Berger. Today featuring the amazing winemaker Greg La Follette. All right, we'll be back on the drive. Stick around, everyone.